Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. The Jays are officially in. We knew that, but they're officially into the playoffs. So all in all, it's been a bit of a roller coaster season based on the expectations. But they're right. In. You know, credit to them. That's worthy of celebration, man. They're going to the wild card. So you're getting playoff baseball here in Toronto. It may not be at the Rogers Centre. It could be on the road. We'll see. But the Blue Jays are officially in. And they're off today. They got Boston in town for 3 starting tomorrow. Then they go down to Baltimore for 3. And there you go. End of the season. And now it's about matching up your rotation. Like, will they actually leave Manoah to pitch game 162? Hayes. Or with an off day today, do you start adjusting things?
Can you explain the possibilities that lie ahead? Like, finishing first, they're hosting 3 games at home. Is that my understanding?
Well, it's the best 2 out of 3. Yes, it could be 2. It could be 3 games.
But they're all at Rogers Center.
They'd all be at the Rogers Center if they're the top wild card.
Okay, yes. So what else is out there?
Okay, so here's
finish first.
These are the options. If they finish first, you're playing either Tampa or Seattle at home. If you finish second, you're playing either Seattle or Tampa in their building. If you finish the third wild card, you're playing Cleveland in Cleveland. So that's the way it works, because the top two division winners get a bye to the divisional series. That is Houston and New York. The AL Central winning team, which will be Cleveland, they will get to host a best 2 out of 3 at home against the third wild card. So it's somewhat complicated.
So you don't want to be second. Bottom line is you're playing on the road, so you could end up playing in the trough. Correct?
Yes, you could. Yes. Second or third, if you finish with the second or third wild card, you're playing on the road. You're either in Cleveland or in Seattle or Tampa. So that's what's
at stake. I do not want them going anywhere, to be honest with you, especially you know where.
The trop.
The trop.
The trop. No way. I can't. You can't go down there.
I think home field would be incredibly beneficial, and that is what could be on the line. Like, if it comes down to game 162 where they have to win the game for the top seed in home field, do you pitch Manoah? I don't know. We'll see. We'll find out what John Schneider and company decide to do. Again, let's be honest here. What Gibbons told us yesterday, John Gibbons, it will not be Schneider making that call anyway.
Right.
It'll be Atkins, Shapiro and company, with John Schneider having a vote or a say, but it'll be a collective decision. But they're in. They're into the playoffs, so credit the Blue Jays for that. You know, it's been a long journey. You get in, celebrate today, off day, get back at it, try to get home field, and move on from here. Thursday night or tonight, Tua will play tonight, and all eyes will be on him, right? Because of the head injury that wasn't a head injury, according to Miami, his back injury. When it was announced he was in, the line moved. It was, I think, 4 or 4.5 for Cincinnati. It's down to 3.5, might be bet down to 3. So money's coming in on Miami. They are 3-0, and they're a dog on the road.
Who's choosing tonight?
Team Luke Dog's
Luke's
brother.
Brother's dog.
Luke's brother's dog.
Luke's brother's dog. Oh. That can't be the handle. It's too tough. I'm going to butcher it.
LBD. LBD.
What about Luke's just brother's Luke's brother? Dog.
Luke's brother. Luke's brother. Yes. Luke's brother. Luke's brother's dog, who are 2-6.
Hang on. Let's check. It's Luke's brothers.
Luke's brothers. All right, Luke's brothers. You guys have the pick tonight, and Luke's brothers are 2-6, so he's jumping on a sinking ship.
Yes, Luke, Grappler, text me his number because we have to get involved with the text chain with this cat.
He may just flush you guys. Like, when I heard you the other day, like, add you to the text chain and that. Like, the look on his face is probably like, no, I don't think so. I'm good.
I agree.
Al's brother is going to be like,
what do you think his
him?
Face would be like if it's just, hey, it's Al's brother. How's it going, Luke? You got any info on any picks? This guy's an NFL, former NFL star. Hey, it's Al's brother from Toronto.
Right. And Al's brother's the captain of the team, effectively. So you can have input, but I make the call. Like, that's got to be a shock to the system for Luke Wilson. This guy's won a Super Bowl, played in the NFL, and he's going to try to, lob up some tremendous information. And there's a very good chance Al's brother will just say, I'm not accepting that because I don't believe in that. So that will be a shock to the system. But anyway, we'll get you guys on the text chain. Luke's brothers, you guys can figure it out. Marcellus Wiley coming up here in just a moment. I'm seeing Marcellus tweet about Dak Prescott. And I wonder if he's thinking that maybe Dak could be in trouble. Is there a reason for insecurity down there if you're Dak Prescott? Well, because Cooper Rush has won two games in a row, and Jerry Jones is a lunatic.
Oh, my God.
I know, but Jerry Jones was – he also said that Dak was going to be back in week three, didn't he, or week four was it? I think in three or four. I mean, that's not happening, obviously, and now Cooper Rush is the next coming, so that's it.
Could be. You never know. Well, listen, Marcellus has played down there. He knows what it's all about down in Dallas, and he joined us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's our good buddy Marcellus Wiley. We're just reading your tweet here about Dak. What are you saying, Marcellus? Are you calling some sort of a quarterback battle down there that could actually lead to Cooper Rush being the man for the Cowboys?
Oh, absolutely. And we know the NFL stands for not for long. And I think that this is a situation that's starting to brew in Dallas because there's always competition. You just don't always know which player or what situation. But because the NFL is not for long, and you always get beat out if someone's better, younger, or cheaper. And if they're all three of those things, you're really in trouble. But in this situation, you just see Cooper Rush commanding this offense in a better way than Dak Prescott has in our most recent of memory. And I like Dak. I think Dak is better than Cooper Rush. Trust me. I think if they called the plays the exact same way and they committed to Tony Pollard as they have more this year than they have in the years past, Dak Prescott would clearly beat out Cooper Rush. That's not the conversation we're having. We're having the conversation of how much do you make, Dak, and what are the results, versus Cooper Rush, how much do you make, and what could be the results? And because you have that proposition in your head, Cooper Rush looks very attractive to those upstairs in Dallas's our management.
Yeah.
Jesus, Murphy, that's
like,
crazy.
Listen, we're talking Jerry Jones, and I can't get a read on Jones because he comes out, he talks to the media after every game. He does his weekly radio hit. He talks as if he's this riverboat gambler. Yet you look at his history, he's actually been fairly patient and fairly loyal. You know, like, he doesn't turn over coaches every single year. And yet Mike McCarthy seems to be on the record saying, like, Dak is the guy. Don't bring Cooper Rush into my region here, man. I'm not going to accept that. So who do you think would win the battle? Like, if McCarthy is adamant, Dak Prescott gets the ball as a quarterback the second he's healthy, but Jerry Jones wants Cooper Rush, how do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I wish I had a producer right here in the car with me as I go pick up the kids. And I say, hey, run back that tape. When Tony Romo got injured and Dak first got in, and what did they say? I bet it would be eerily similar to this same situation, right? You got your franchise guy. You got the guy who's making all the money. You got the guy who has everyone's hearts and emotions, and all of their ambitions are through Dak Prescott as they once were through Tony Romo. But if you sit yourself in that cold tub too long and somebody else is out there not only balling but winning, I don't care who you are, they're going to look at the situation differently. And like I said, I don't think that Cooper Rush is a better quarterback than Dak. But he can dictate these circumstances to where he looks like the better option than Dak. And that's what's at play. Salary cap's at play. How much do you make is at play. What have been the results is at play. What do you do, Cooper Rush, in terms of inspiring this fan base is at play. A lot of things. I went through this before. Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson. Oh, you know what? Rob Johnson's our quarterback. We gave him 5 years, $25 million, and he's a franchise quarterback. He got hurt. Doug Flutie never lost, and it was Doug Flutie's job. Then they flipped back once again. That's my point. You can't get a read on Jerry Jones because right now, I guarantee you, in his quiet moments, he's flip-flopping between both guys in every scenario.
I like it with Marcellus Wiley. So we got Thursday nighter tonight, Miami in Cincinnati. All eyes on Tua because he's been playing so well, but based on the injury last week where it feels like a lot of people think that was a concussion or a head injury, and now they're putting up a disguise as if it was a back injury that he's been suffering the whole time. But he's playing. What do you expect to see out of Tua tonight?
Man, that's dirty if they did try to frame it as a back ankle injury and it's really his head. whoo, that's talking about trying to rig the game, because you know how protective the NFL is about concussions and head issues. That said, I'll take them for their word. Like, not every time you see someone fall on their head does their head hurt. And I remember having these arguments with fans and my friends. They'll watch a game I played in, and they'll be like, man, that dude hit you so hard, I know that hurt. And I'll be like, no, when? And he's like, no, in the third quarter. And I'm like, when? He said, the second series. I'm like, no, when? Eddie George. I'll be like, no, when? You know what's funny about football? The hardest hits are the ones that usually go unnoticed and cause the most damage. I give you this example. When you see a guy jogging, all of a sudden he just falls on the ground. Did anybody hit him? No. But his knee is gone, and he's out for a year. It happens in hits as well. Sometimes you're just in the pile. You put your arm out there awkwardly. It happens. What I expect from Tua, frankly, is kind of more of the same. I believe that he has a back injury and an ankle injury, but, hey, he has some potent receivers that he almost can close his eyes and launch it as far as he can and waddle, and he'll run under it and go get it. That puts a huge threat on any team that's trying to cover them defensively, because now you have to think about every single layer of their offense attacking you. So just the acquisition of Hill and the combination of him and Waddle has really opened up this playbook. Unless Tua's really hurt or hurt in a way that they haven't said, I think he's going to be just fine.
What about the other team, the team they're playing? I'm a Bengals guy, Marcellus. You think they're going to end the season as an elite team again, or what do you see in the future of my Rule the Jungle Bengals?
Just like you sounded. That lion didn't have much roar. You just
come on,
said
man.
That
kind of like better.
I don't think these Bengals have much of them. I'm reading into the stripes, and I'm not seeing a lot of great things going forward. Look, they tried to address the offensive line. Obviously, it started slow. Recovered last week. You look at this team, and Joe Burrow missed a ton of time in training camp. You look at them, they're very talented, but with that Super Bowl hangover, more importantly, they're playing ball thinking that they fixed all their ills. I never like a team's mindset when they just highlight what they think they need to fix and then they go into the next year thinking it's done. You got to play every single game like it's your first and your last. And the Bengals just seem like a team that we penciled in to greater horizons than they actually have earned. So I'm just going to watch them. I don't know if they're mature enough. I don't know if they're going to come together well enough to go out there when there's a bullseye on their back. They think they're all good, and they're going to find that it's going to be tough sledding this year. The craziest thing about sophomore slumps, as everyone says, the whole sophomore slump, the second time you do something, the issue is you don't go back to square one like you did the first time you did it, and that's going to be an issue for these Bengals.
With Marcellus Wiley, the Bills are coming off a loss in Miami, and now they're at Baltimore. Lamar Jackson has been chewing up defenses. There are clearly issues in terms of injuries on the defensive side of the ball in Buffalo, and the stats are really starting to get spotlighted and highlighted, the fact that the Bills have a difficult time winning close ball games. Right? If they get off to a hot start and it's a blowout, they can cruise and they can crush you. But the last couple of years in tight games, it hasn't necessarily gone their way. Do you buy into that stat? Do you feel like the Bills, who are getting all this love, a lot of it deserved, need to prove they can win like a field goal game late in the fourth quarter?
I don't buy into that stat. It kind of reminds me of how a lot of times you give an example and you take away the best attribute and then you say, outside of that, and you know what's funny? The Bills win a lot of games, and they win a lot of games in blowout fashion. But then we say, outside of that, what type of team is it? And it's basically telling the pretty girl, outside your looks, who are you? It's like, well, the looks count too, damn it. So I'm looking at the Bills as a team that can fight in those close games. They haven't lost all their close games. They don't have as much experience in close games. And frankly, no team ever has raised their hand to want that much experience in close games. So I think the Bills really have a first-world problem, which means more times than not we're going to win, and more times than not we're going to spank you and win it. Now, the other dimension of, hey, if it's a close one, what are we going to do? Well, that comes down to two things, and they address the defense for sure, but running game and defense, and also the sophistication of how you call the game all come into play. That's why Belichick is a genius. When he has the horses, he knows how to mastermind the game. So in that situation, the Buffalo Bills just got to learn a little more calculus in those close games. But I believe in their potential, and I certainly believe in their talent.
So Sunday night, you got Tampa at home against Kansas City. And I'm curious if you think Brady's looking at the sked saying, what is going on here, man? Like last week I got Green Bay and Rodgers, even though Rodgers didn't put up huge numbers. But you knew they were desperate because of the way they started the year. And now you got Kansas City coming off a loss to the Colts, and Mahomes is rolling in there on Sunday night. How do you see Brady keeping up with Mahomes if Mahomes is in somewhat of a mood coming off a loss last week?
Yeah, you got to hope he's in a mood because he didn't play that well last week. You know, the conversation this week has been how much does he miss Tyreek Hill now? And you start to compare the offensive passing stats, the whole collective group in Kansas City versus just one Tyreek Hill, and you're starting to realize, interesting how it's going to play out. I believe in Andy Reid. I believe in that system. I believe in Patrick Mahomes. I don't believe it's all going to come together as seamlessly as they thought it would. And that's going to be tough. Tom Brady may look at Patrick Mahomes like he did Aaron Rodgers last week. I know who you are. I know how great you are, but maybe you won't play so great this week. And it happened last week with Green Bay, even though Green Bay still got the game. It may happen, and I predict it will happen again. Tampa wins, and Kansas City still struggles.
Interesting. I love it. All right, Marcellus, enjoy it tonight. Enjoy the weekend. We'll do it again next week.
All right, brothers. Take care, buddy.
There he is, Marcellus Wiley, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota, and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, you got a big Sunday nighter.
And Brady, you mentioned it. Like, Brady, the schedule's not favorable for him. Like, he's going to be running for his life out there.
Yeah, if he stinks the joint out again, he's going to get it. Like, he's going to get, what's up with you?
Mm-hmm. You think he might?
Somebody might finally ask, like, where's your game at? Because the whispers will be out there if it's junk again.
Mm-hmm. Well, their offense has been no good. Like, they just,
I mean, he's missing weapons, but.
Yeah, his line's banged up. His weapons have been gone for the most part, but, yeah, you're still Tom Brady.
Well, he gets Evans back, right? Evans only got one
game,
Evans
will be back. Yeah, Evans will be back. So there's your number one target. You got Leonard Fournette. But it's not going to get easier with Kansas City. But that's what happens. You got a great team. You're going to be in prime time. People are going to be paying attention to you.
Yeah.
So we expect that to be the case again Sunday night with Tom Brady. And the Buccaneers, and it sounds like they're going to stay in Tampa. It sounds like Tampa kind of avoided the worst of Hurricane Ian.
Yeah.
But that hurricane was nasty, man, like so powerful.
Dude, there was sharks in the – like, did you see the videos of the sharks, like,
swimming
in
Fort
Myers.
Yeah, I was in Fort Myers. Jeez. I'm down there every year. I'm down there all the time. It's wild. Like,
it's crazy.
Listen, a Category 4 hurricane, and, of course, the weather – journalists had to be out there covering it. I will say it is incredible television. It seems incredibly dangerous, and I would assume the journalist, the reporter, has the ability to say, no, I'm not going out there if they choose to, but it is incredible TV.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to be callous or whatever. Like, it's just the truth. You watch someone in the middle of a hurricane doing a report, you can't turn that off.
No.
But it seems incredibly unnecessary. Like, we get it. The hurricane.
And dangerous.
Would you get hazard pay
insanely
for that?
Insanely dangerous.
Like, would you get hazard pay? You work for CNN. You're standing down there in a hurricane. Like, you getting some type of bonus or something? Like,
I don't know.
I would hope. Like, I would hope that a network would be like, okay, you just put your life in danger for a live TV hit. Like, here's a little something extra.
Yes.
Like, in your...
If that's not hazard pay, what is?
Exactly.
Hazard
that's hazard pay. Flat out hazard pay.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know enough about it in the States, but that should be.
Yes.
Those reporters in the eye of a storm standing
Absolutely.
There.
Yeah, there's one up on TSN4 right now.
Like, although it is ridiculous. There's no reason why that guy should be there unless, like,
look,
is that a news
that
person
is.
Or just a guy being a goon?
No, it's a reporter. It was someone doing a report. Like,
yeah,
he's got
that's
the mic.
Too
you can
much.
See his mic.
but that's too much. Like that's on the producer or whatever to be like, yeah. we're out of here. We're not staying for you to get blown down the street.
Right. Like, you know, the eye of the storm, you know, you can avoid it. You can drive to different parts of the states.
Exactly.
Or of the state and make sure that you avoid it. But yeah, there's always wild scenes coming out of that. But Southwest Florida got hit really hard. But Tampa will be at home. Tampa is going to play Sunday night football at home. That'll be emotional too, because the state will be reeling clearly because of what happened. Kansas City in their Sunday night. All right, we've got Ian O'Connor later this hour of the New York Post. He was up here in town last night covering the Yankees-Jays series. His take on Judge hitting 61. Does it feel like a foregone conclusion? It will be 62 right around the corner. Pierre LeBrun still to come as well. And the Rasmus Sandin signing and some injuries with the Leafs moving forward. That and more still to come on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and up on TSN 4.
And just sent a horrifying text message. And I'm not going to lie, I don't know if I'm going to get a response. Luke Wilson. Hi, Luke. It's O-Dog and Al's brother. Let's get ready for some picks, bro. That's so bad. Why did I do that?
Yeah, that's a horrible icebreaker.
Is it?
I don't know. So you looped in Al's brother. Has he responded? Has he responded in some way? Because I could see him jumping in and saying,
Luke, it's O-Dog and Al's brother. Let's get ready for some picks, bro. I tried to throw in the bro to kind of.
No, it doesn't land. I don't think bro lands.
Where does it go?
I don't know. I think it's just out in the universe somewhere. Like, that's not good. That's not a good response. I don't think it's a good icebreaker, but we'll see. Luke's a good guy. I mean, he'll probably hook you up with some info. But I'm telling you, I don't think Al's brother is going to accept it. At all. I think he plays the role of Ross Atkins, and Luke is like Pete Walker, and you're John Schneider. You guys really don't have any power when it comes to who's going to pitch every night.
Imagine they both ice me. I get iced by Al's brother, too.
A mutiny.
Jeez.
They just knock you right out of the text chain, and it's the two of them. You could be out. You can come on my team if you want.
I can mediate with...
You want to be on my team? We'll lay a beating on these two clowns. No problem.
No, wow. Juicier. It's juicy. I can't let my guy go. He's okay. My goose. I'm Maverick. I can't betray the guy like that.
You know what happened to Goose? You did betray him already.
Didn't he get killed?
Yeah, Goose died.
He didn't get killed because of Maverick, though.
He was being a hero in the air. Yeah. Maverick was being a hero. Wasn't he?
Yeah. I can't remember the
I don't remember the first one.
Died.
Maybe he's Rooster, right? That's the second one, the kid.
Yeah.
Al's brother is Rooster.
He's Rooster and you're Maverick. Because the second Top Gun's a spectacular movie.
I thought it was amazing.
Phenomenal
the tunes,
movie.
All of it. It just brought back memories. Noodles, you're a movie guy. Let me guess, you hated it.
No, I liked it. I just, you know, it's weird.
Hang on a sec. Luke Wilson. Let's bleepin' go.
Wow.
And then on top of that, you said it wouldn't land. It landed with both feet. Al's brother right on top of Luke. Miami at Cincy. Buffalo at Baltimore. KC at Tampa Bay. Luke's brothers are here to rock.
Okay. There you go, Noodles. How about that? We're on the outside looking in of a text chain that, quite frankly, I want nothing to do with anyway. So it's
exactly.
All
it does is just blow up your phone and it's nonsense going back and forth. There'll be tremendous information. And then it'll land like a brick, like we see every week. It just, he hands out the kiss of, the stronger his opinion gets, the kiss of death.
It
is. I know, but Jamie, you and I are, I consider Hayes a quasi-expert at the NFL football. Okay?
Yes.
He knows ins and outs, player positions. You and I don't know what Al's brother is, but you and I are casual fans.
I'm a casual fan. I like to just sit back and watch. There's
right.
I like following story.
He comes out with info where he sucks you in, and you're like, this guy, he's got injury reports. He's got guys coming back. He's got tendencies. He's got flaws. Why do we lose? Hayes, you know it's believable what he says.
It sounds believable.
I know why. It's because he's found some like Twitter handle that some guy just writes stuff and he cuts and pastes it.
No, it's all his own research.
And it's like, but it's none of it's correct.
You think it's plagiarism? Is that what you're
I'm not saying plagiarism.
Saying right now?
I'm
you
saying
think
he's found
plagiarizing?
Like Yeah, there's always like some expert who's got 17 followers on mm-hmm. Twitter. And I called this. This is what is going to happen. And he like trolls Twitter, cuts and pastes this, cuts and pastes that. And then all of a sudden, it's tremendous information because it's how you sell it.
Right.
That's the thing. He's convincing, but he's the information, it's not correct of the time.
It looks great, right? It's like biting into a muffin you think is a chocolate chip, and it's blueberry, you know?
Exactly.
Or something like that. That's what Al's brother is. It's not the real deal. It doesn't.
You're calling him. It basically hates
you're calling
him
a fraud.
Yeah, you're
his
basically
record's 2-6. The guy. Bradley Zimmer's got a better batting average than this guy.
Dude, like, don't even do that to my guy. If you pull out the fraudometer and Al's brother's actually on it.
He's on it. He's off the charts. He inspires the fraudometer with those picks. It sounds great. I admit it. There are times where I'm like, man, I didn't see it from that side. But I'll,
you
okay.
put him on that the fraudometer, I will not do the segment.
I'm not putting him on because we love Al's brother. I wouldn't possibly do that to him. But I want to see him have success. I know you guys think I'm being facetious when I say this, but there are a lot of times I'm like, I feel a run. I'm feeling a run. I think he's seeing the board. And then somehow he shoots himself in the foot. And I think you bring in Luke Wilson. I don't think it matters. You can bring in anyone you want. The greatest capper of all time. I don't think Al's brother would accept the information.
Dude, you don't know what you're talking about. We're bringing in an expert. He predicted Kansas City losing at Indy. He knows inside information. He knows when a team's out late. And they're not going to perform. He knows the ins and outs, and he's on our squad, and he's giving us info. And we're going to make picks.
All right. We'll see. You guys are on the clock in about an hour. Okay? Luke Wilson, Al's brother, the O-Dog. Anyone else want to join your team? Who else can we get?
No, for now. I don't know. We might talk to Davis Sanchez, and he might jump.
Hayes, you should get Kara Wagland on your team.
No. You know what, Noodles?
You're right.
I like him by himself because he thinks he's so smart. And he does. He does.
I'm just saying. I think you should get. I mean, if you had Kara Wagland on your team, that's.
I think Kara would big time me right now if I sent her a text because I think she had the hole in one.
That's true.
And
that's true.
I think she's would probably big time me if I was seeking out advice from Kara. Like or she'd start talking about my short game or what I have to do off the deck when I'm trying to hit a hole in one because I can't speak on that level, right? I'm a loser that doesn't have a hole in one, and to her credit, I'm sure she's not being obnoxious. I know I would be. Like, if I got a hole-in-one and I knew other people didn't, it'd be tough not to be obnoxious about that. But, okay, listen, we'll see what Luke Wilson brings to the table because we got six games to pick because of the London game. And here's my concern. I have the London game. It's at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, which is not prime time. But if it's in London, 5 hours ahead, is this primetime Kirk Cousins because he's overseas?
Oh.
Like, does this count as primetime Kirk Cousins because it's primetime when we're talking about Europe, right? When you're talking about London, England, you're going over to the UK. It's primetime, man.
That's where you wonder how the stats, like, if it's not really prime, like, how would that even factor in? How could his performance match if he's not even in the same kind of...
He's not in the same
time zone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not in the same country anymore.
Right.
I can't, and this is what I'm dealing with. I hate betting the London game. It's a goofy game. You know, I'll watch it because it's 9:30 in the morning, but I don't have a read on it. It's a neutral site. Everyone's wearing a different jersey over there. I don't know how to get a read on that. So, anyway, that's in about an hour, all right, in about an hour. I went back and looked at my top 50 list. Not that it really matters, but I actually did not have John Tavares in my top 50.
Hey, the thing is, Hayes, it's not like we're down on the guy.
You're not being disrespectful.
We're basically projecting production, aren't we? Like, who's going to be the best players this year?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. That's the practice. Project by the end of the season, if you had to rank what you think will be the 50 best players, most productive players, that's what you're supposed to do. And every year there's turnover. Every year there's young players. And as we pointed out, TSN.ca has already revealed that Brady Tkachuk not in the top 50, which I'm not surprised by. I didn't have Brady in my top 50. But he was 51st, I guess, based on the number crunching. But Tavares, Scheifele, Patterson. Like, Mark Scheifele's been on that list and high on that list for 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, well,
he's got to prove himself.
I didn't have
again,
him on my list.
That's what Tavares has got to do.
I agree. I didn't have him on my list, but I think he's a guy who is really at a pivotal situation And it kind of mirrors the Winnipeg Jets. Like, they've got – that core's got to get their act together or the band breaks up type of thing. And I think it's – a lot of it is Mark Scheifele. I think he's a star player that has left something to be desired as far as production and getting to the next level. He's a big leader on that team. Mm-hmm. I think it's a big year for Mark Scheifele. I didn't have him on my top 50 list.
I agree.
He would have been on there. Like,
I think I had him – in the, like, 47th, or, and it doesn't matter. It's all semantic.
Right,
like,
yeah,
the difference between 47 and 53, whatever.
It's not that big of a deal.
It's not that big of a deal. But the point is, Scheifele is a leader, he's a veteran, and he's got to play like a top 50 guy. And I would argue the same thing with Tavares. As of now, I think it's reasonable to project that there will be 50 players in the league that will be better. There's, like, 10 that are paid more than him. Not even. So that's not going to happen. He's not cracking the top 10 at any point in his career the rest of the way. Yeah. He's not going to be a top 10 player.
There's no sense of us harping on the salary because it's not going away and it's going to be there.
No, but top 50, he should still be expected to compete for that. Like,
it
should not be a surprise if at the end of the year you say, you know what, he was the 37th best player in the league. He can't go the other way is the point.
Not easily. But there's no reason he can't come back, even missing 2 or 3 weeks and score 35 goals. Like, that should be a thing. That should be in the equation.
It should be the goal. Absolutely.
Of course.
Will he achieve it? I don't think so. But he absolutely should be striving for that, clearly. And he's capable of doing that. And, like, that's ultimately what the conversation is. Okay, if collectively people at TSN, which, again, it doesn't have to mean anything once the puck actually drops, collectively – you got him just outside of 50. It can't be at the end of the year. Actually, he was the 84th best player. You know, like, that's not an option. This is as low as you can get at $11 million. That's where the contract does matter. And who he plays, the amount of minutes, and the drop-off after him. The way they're built, right?
Yep.
They're built with a big four half the roll, man.
Yeah, I agree.
So, anyway. All right, Ian O'Connor will join us of the New York Post. He was in the building last night. He's been covering the Yankees and Judge forever. His take on the Jays going to the playoffs, the Yankees obviously going, Frankie Lasagna and others missing the ball in the left field last night. Catch up with Ian next.
Like Gretzky, Curry, and Messier, our text chain is flying high right now. Luke Wilson is loving, like, you know how you like a tweet on an iPhone? Al's brother just went on this rant about a pick, and Luke loves it. We all love what we're saying. We all love it.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You have an NFL Super Bowl winner who's been invited into the text chain, and he has to listen to Al's brother's analysis of a pick?
Dude, I'm
like,
sorry.
That's what
if
he's
I'm
doing with his personal
listen
time?
Listen to me.
That drivel?
They are going back and forth talking football.
Oh, my God. Loop me in. Get me in that chain. Loop me in.
You want in?
No, actually, I don't. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to find a secret admirer that wants to be in on my picks. All right? Every week, I'm going to find someone. I'm not going to tell you who they are.
Yes.
Well,
so
that's
you just
the
stay
truth.
By yourself. Oh,
okay,
that is
fine.
The truth. So just stay by yourself.
All right, cool. No problem. Just keep rolling here, right, Noodles? I'm just batting 500, man. I'm not going all the
time. Listen, you're fine, but I think there's a bunch of blustering going on the other side. Blustering. A lot of noise.
A lot of noise in the park last night. How often does an opposing team, especially for the Yankees, a guy for the Yankees hit a home run that leads to people kind of giving him an ovation? Like, that was kind of the significance of Judge doing it. The fact that it was towards the end of Game 3 and there was a lot of buildup and anticipation, I think, led to that reaction as well. But here's Ian O'Connor, the New York Post sports columnist. He was in the building last night. Ian, have you ever seen anything like that where a guy for the Yankees, of all teams, hits a home run on the road and it leads to somewhat of an ovation?
Well, I think the only thing that's comparable that I witnessed on site was Derek Jeter's last game in Fenway Park. To have Red Sox fans cheering for Derek Jeter, that was an odd experience. But I think it really speaks to how Jeter then and Judge now, how they carry themselves. You know, I think the Toronto fans did the right thing in acknowledging that this was a great achievement. And I think if the Blue Jays were in really good position to make the playoffs, I think without that, maybe the vibe would have been different. So I don't think it was a must win because it sure looked like that, like they're in today. And now they're in the playoffs. And I think the fans understood that as well. But Aaron Judge carries himself the right way. I think he represents what's good about professional sports. And to me, it was nice to see an opposing crowd acknowledge that.
Roger Maris Jr. echoed those sentiments about Judge last night. He also said he thinks he should be known as the true home run king. What do you make of those comments?
Well, it's interesting because I remember talking to him back in the day during the McGuire-Sosa home run chase, and he was a big part of that, and he embraced it, and they embraced him, and obviously now he feels quite differently about that, as many people do. The way I look at it is you can have two different standards, and Bonds is going to hold the record. He has the record. He definitely hit 73 baseballs over the wall that season. And there's no, and by the way, a lot of pitchers were using PEDs as well. So I'm not saying it was a level playing field all the time, but some of the time it was. And so I'm fine with saying that Aaron Judge is the non-PED home run champion, single season division. And but I don't think you can say that he is the all-time single-season home run leader because he's not. Statistically, that distinction belongs with Mr. Bonds, and I think that that there are some baseball fans I've talked to who are fine with that. You can make the distinction in your own mind and look at Aaron Judge. Well, right now he shares it with Maris, but perhaps he'll break it in the next seven games. As the clean home run champion, but he's not the record holder. That's not the way it works. And now if baseball had stripped Bonds officially of that record, then it's a different story. But we'd be having a different conversation. We're not, because that didn't happen. And therefore, I think Bonds is the home run champion single season, but a guy clearly who cheated to do it, and that should be noted as well.
What type of noise around New York is happening, I guess, when it comes to Judge's contract? I mean, is it just a daily thing that people talk about, or is it just it's been a little bit of overkill and they talk about it all the time and it's just kind of been pushed to the side?
No, it was pushed to the side because of the beauty of the season that he was delivering. And I felt like, and I felt this way too, that talking about it, writing about it was almost defacing what we were seeing. So I think a lot of people did put it to the side, but hey, we're getting toward the end of the season. This is now the most important part of the season. So I don't think it'll generate a lot of conversation until the Yankees are done, whether that is as World Series champs or eliminated in the playoffs once again. And then it's going to be a hourly topic of conversation until it gets resolved without question. And so there's been almost a respectful, I think, feeling on the part of most New Yorkers not to bring it up a lot, particularly over these last couple of months as he approached this record, because you felt like you were defiling or defacing it in what we were seeing. So last night he was asked about betting on himself, and obviously the Yankees offered him seven-year extension worth $213.5 million. I think he's earned at least $100 million on top of that, what he's going to get. But he insists, I didn't feel like I was betting on myself because I knew I was going to play the season with the Yankees to the best of my abilities, and then we'll see what happens. Well, what happened is now he's due for a contract, I think, well north of $300 million. And I do think the Yankees will give it to them. I think they really have almost no choice. But it'd be interesting to see what Judge does. I've always said, if Tom Brady can leave the New England Patriots, which was unfathomable at a certain point in time, then any athlete can leave any team in any sport. And so would it be shocking if he left? I would say no. It'd be surprising, but not shocking, because I saw Tom Brady leave the Patriots, and I could not believe he did that.
We're chatting with Ian O'Connor of the New York Post. He was at the Dome last night. Everyone's got a different opinion on the guys with the gloves out in left field and whether or not it was a reasonable opportunity for them to catch number 61. Based on your view, Ian, do you think that was a missed opportunity, or was that just a frozen rope with a couple of amateurs in left field, and it doesn't matter that they had gloves, they weren't catching that ball?
hey, there are major league players who wouldn't have caught it. It was traveling 117 miles per hour, and they had to both guys who had an opportunity had to sort of lunge or reach over that railing, which is dangerous, by the way. And no, I don't think. Well, of course, it's a missed opportunity because if you end up with the ball, you're going to make a lot of money. Not as much money as you would if you caught number 62, if he happens to hit it. But certainly enough money to make a little bit of a difference in your daily life. So, yes, a missed opportunity. But do I think it was a ball that needed to be caught? No. Not by two fans who were in position to maybe make the play. I don't think it was a play that what was easy by any stretch of the imagination. And so I got a kick out of the one guy who threw his glove in disgust. Mm-hmm. That would have been a hell of a catch if he found a way to grab it. So yeah, it was a missed opportunity, but definitely a difficult play and a tough proposition. So I think both seem to be a little hard on themselves for not coming up with the ball.
What do you think he does in the next week? Do you think he rips three or four more? He's obviously streaky. I think he's got – does he have Baltimore coming up?
Yeah, Baltimore and Texas.
Right, and I think if he gets one more, I think Boone will rest him.
Really?
Now, they've got 5 days of rest coming up at the end of the season because they have the first round bye. But I think that I am glad he didn't rest him last night. I do think even before the game, I actually wrote the column before the game saying it's the right decision to play him, even though you've clinched the division and you pretty much know you're going to be the two seed on the AL side of the tournament. But Boone has been saying all along, this is really important and great for baseball. What message would he have sent if he benched him and didn't let him at least DH and took away some opportunities? So. But I do think once he gets to 62, then I think he'll give him at least one full day off where he's not even serving as DH. So I could see him getting to 63 now. I don't know about any more than that. And I do think he's physically and emotionally drained from the experience, and rightfully so. And as a guy who's 6'7", 282 pounds, you do want to get him off his feet a little bit before the playoffs start. So I suspect if he gets a 62, and I think he will in New York, then he'll sit at least one or two games.
With Ian O'Connor of the New York Post, so the Yankees leave town, but the Jays get to celebrate today because Baltimore lost, and that means the Jays are officially going as well. You were up here for a few days. You've obviously been tracking the Blue Jays. There's a sense that Houston is the best team in the American League, and then after that it's a crapshoot, including the Yankees. Do you see it the same way?
I would Houston's definitely the top seed and the team to beat in this side of the draw, no question. I would say the Yankees are a solid number two team. And then after that, there's that a little bit of a jumble, but I do think Toronto's the best team in that jumble. I think they're better than Cleveland, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. So I think they're the team. Right now it looks like, what, they'll host Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
If things hold up, I think Toronto wins that series, and then they would play Houston. And right now, anyway, I guess this could change a little bit. But I see Toronto giving Houston certainly a run for its money, but I think the Astros win that series. But I do think Toronto is the best of the rest. I would say Houston is a solid number one. Yankees are pretty solid number two, although they could get picked off. I think, in fact, if Toronto ended up in the Yankees bracket, there's a better chance that New York would fall than if the Yankees end up playing, say, Seattle or Cleveland. I just think with the Blue Jays' offensive firepower, they could certainly be a problem. I don't think they fear the Yankees at all. They beat the Yankees this year, what, 8 times? So I do think that would be a very, very competitive series. But it looks like the Yanks will avoid that in the division series, and Toronto will likely get the better team in Houston. So that'll be a very difficult series for the Blue Jays to win, but not an impossible one to win, certainly. I think they're good enough to pull that off.
Well, it's right around the corner. We know who's going for the most part. It'll be a fun ride. Hope you enjoyed yourself up here, Ian. We'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
I did, and thank you for having me.
You got it. Ian O'Connor of the New York Post. On Judge hitting 61 last night, the buzz, the celebration, fact that a bunch of guys with gloves in left field couldn't catch the ball, so Judge got the ball back. He gave it to his mom. Roger Maris Jr. has just been flying all over the place, waiting for the record to finally be broken.
Does he have to, like, now continue to fly around until, like, it's done? Like,
I would assume.
This guy's just floating around. He's probably got a job.
Yeah,
tells
I don't know
his
what
boss,
he does.
It's like, yeah, you know what? I got to fly, travel around, wait until this guy potentially breaks my, you know, the record of the family.
Does he so, keep sticking around?
That's what we're wondering. I don't know. I would think
you
got to break the record now, right? Yeah, like.
Yeah, but what if he just says, guys, like, I got stuff going on.
Well, exactly. They can't force him to do anything. Maybe he loves it. You know he's not paying for anything. The Yankees are the one flying him around. Probably like, yeah, let's keep it going, man. Let's bring the party back to New York, head down to Texas, Baltimore. just get crazy.
Let's go for a break, guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to tell you, we'll get into it. You can maybe guess the three guys. But there has been some talk of three guys making a podcast.
Wow.
We'll take a break and we'll get back to it.
This is getting ridiculous now.
I swear to God.
I'm not doubting it, but it's still it's ridiculous. We'll come back with more details on that. Sheldon Keefe potentially thinking outside the box.
Oh,
a big box
on,
store
dude.
Is what he's thinking outside. It's an IKEA. That's what he's thinking outside of. We'll tell you more about that in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.